on board with us today. A lot going on in the world to catch you up on. Oh, man. It's been a tough one. It's been a tough one to keep following all of the moves happening right now on Capitol Hill. A lot happening there. Nothing, of course, for the American people, though. But I guess you could say it's the swamp just being swampy. And we're going to catch you up on all of that today. So excited that you're all joining me. We got a lot to dive into, a lot of legal stuff that we're going to be talking about in the show, as well as getting a lot of takes. Matt Peterson is going to be joining the show. He is one of the fellows over at the Claremont Institute. He's got a lot that he wants to break down because, folks, there's a lot happening, especially in regards to Congressman Matt Gaetz. Congressman Corey Mills. Corey Mills, folks, is someone who we need to discuss because there's a lot going on there. As many of you guys know, we broke the report. I broke the report earlier this week in regards to the attempt to cover for Corey Mills. It's been ongoing for a very long time when there was a censure effort to get rid of Ilhan Omar off her committee assignments. Obviously, as many of you guys know, Mills was the one who saved her. Then it went on and on and on. And a lot of times they're throwing Corey Mills at Republicans because they're trying to sit there and push back. That's what they've been using as their tool. And so now Republicans wanted to just get ahead of everything. And so they decided, okay, let's just censor him ourselves and try to get him removed from his committee assignments ourselves. Well, there was an effort yesterday to do just that. Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina, leading that effort. Unfortunately, it failed. I'll give you the latest on that, though. Because now they're claiming there's going to be an ethics investigation into Mills, but it's really just a way to dodge him getting called out. I'll explain that in a little bit. Also, the redheaded libertarian is going to be joining the show later today. Josie's going to be joining us. There's a lot to talk about with her. And you're not going to believe a story. It's a story that I know men out there, it's probably one of your biggest fears, having a female lie about something about you. There was just a woman who apparently worked for a GOP congressman who, according to the DOJ, set herself up to be, it's bizarre, to be slashed, to be attacked. And then she was going to claim that she was the victim of a political hate attack. This individual apparently had a fetish. That's according to the DOJ. I'll walk you through the details. It's quite strange. She had this artist mutilate her. And when you look at the injuries that she has, it's bizarre. It's all really, really bizarre. We'll be talking about that and obviously covering that later as well, because I think it's really important to discuss how toxic social media has become and how it's just ruining women. I think it's just this, let's just say, this quest for attention. So the DOJ is laying out a couple of pretty damning allegations against this individual. I'll read it to you, of course. But she was claiming to be the victim of a political hate crime. So we'll bring you the details on that. Also, obviously, the Epstein stuff happening yesterday. President Trump signed it. It's now a done deal. But now it lays at the hands of the DOJ and what they were going to release, what they're going to redact. And so we're going to ask a lawyer about that too later on in the show, because I have got a lot of questions as to can we really trust these individuals. And you're probably at home thinking, no, you can't, Brianna. Why even ask that question? So we've got a lot to dive into today. So I'm excited that you're all jumping on board with us. We'll also be taking your calls later on in the show as well. So a lot to dive into. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because for a limited time right now, we're giving away a free $10 credit. All you have to do is head on over to the shop and fill up your cart. There's no minimum required, and you're going to get that free $10 store credit. In addition to that, we also are giving away a free mystery flag. Now, that's only going to go on until tomorrow, so you're going to want to do this right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and fill up your cart. Get your Christmas shopping on right now. Don't wait till the last minute, because we're selling out on a lot of items, and I know a lot of you guys are calling in wondering when we're going to get these things back. But get ahead of it. Head on over to AlexJonesStore.com. All right, we got more to dive into in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Go to AlexJonesStore.com right now, because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there. Gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, ultramethylene blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade, formula, bovine colostrum, the best, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. We've got a lot happening over here, so thank you for being with us. A lot happening right when we get off the air. And so I was still working all day yesterday, vetting a couple of really important pieces of information that we'll be bringing to you today. A lot happening on the Hill. Not really things that you'd probably want as one of your top priorities, of course, given the fact that we're dealing with a lot going on today. But I'll catch you up on everything that happened. A lot of votes took place yesterday. A lot of key votes took place yesterday. And we look forward to bringing you those details. Also, we'll be joined by Matt Peterson in just a few moments, probably in about, I'd say about 50 minutes. He'll be joining the program because there's a lot to talk about. Matt is with the, he's one of the Washington fellows for the Claremont Institute. He's been doing a lot of research into topics like Congressman Corey Mills. I keep talking about it. Corey Mills obviously is someone who is dealing with a lot of criticism these days. A lot of ethical questions are being raised. He's now being investigated by the Ethics Committee. We'll get into those details in a little bit, but it's really important for you all at home to know what's going on, and we look forward to continuing to bring you that. I'm hearing from a lot of sources that this is all just his way of trying to deflect. We're not even really going to focus on the female angle to all of this because there's several different claims being made by ex-girlfriends, and he's legally married, so there's that angle to it. But we want to focus mainly on the corruption-related issues, the allegations of corruption, and that's what we'll be doing on today's show. We'll also be talking to the redheaded libertarian as well. She's got a lot to sound off on. There's a story, and I'll bring you some of the details in the first hour, but there's a story about this woman who apparently worked for a congressman in New Jersey for a bit, and the DOJ just recently charged her with filing a false report is what they're kind of claiming here, because they're saying that she was claiming to be a victim of a hate crime that was politically motivated, that she was attacked, that this individual slashed her. But then apparently, according to DOJ filings, they found out that she was following the person who attacked her on Instagram. And it was someone, I mean, they're just accusing her of having a fetish. It's quite the bizarre story. But if you're a guy, this is probably your worst nightmare, is running into a woman like this. So again, these are just allegations that the DOJ are making. I'll read you those details, but it's deeply, deeply concerning and something you should definitely want to learn about. But folks, yesterday was quite the eventful day. Many Democrats coming out and trying to, again, pin everything regarding Jeffrey Epstein on President Trump. But we've only seen new information come about that implicates Democrats more than President Trump in having a close tie to the pedophile. And so it's interesting to sit back and watch the lies all get cooked up. Yesterday, I'm going to play this clip for you. Hakeem Jeffries, he was really not happy when he was asked a very tough question by a great reporter in the press pool yesterday. And clip one, you're going to listen to him as he has a meltdown in front of the media when he's asked about Epstein and the efforts that his team were leading behind the scenes to try to get a donation from him. And in return, they were supposed to allegedly have some type of dinner. Take a listen.
House Oversight Chairman Comer said yesterday on the floor that you had Jeffrey Epstein over for dinner and took money from him back in 2013. This was after he was on the sex offender list. Any comment on that? And will you be holding members accountable regardless of party affiliation if there were any misdeeds related to the Epstein
file? Was that a serious question or a serious statement from malignant clown James Comer that I had Jeffrey Epstein over for dinner? That I accepted money from Jeffrey Epstein? What's extraordinary to me about the clown show on the other side of the aisle is that they lie with impunity on things that are objectively verifiable. And why do they do that? It's because for months, Republicans have been burying the Jeffrey Epstein files, not Democrats. Our view continues to be the same. We want to make sure that what the survivors have asked for, which is full and complete transparency in order to bring about accountability, actually happens. And Congress decisively and in a bipartisan way acted yesterday with respect to the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. That's a victory for the survivors and a victory for the American people. And Donald Trump needs to sign that bill into law expeditiously.
Trump did sign that bill into law yesterday. No cameras were around because, again, he doesn't want this to be a political stunt. He's tired of it. He wants to move on from it. And rightfully so. Give us the files. Give us everything you have. And then we can move on from all of this. So the president announcing yesterday on X, obviously, again, reiterating the fact that he deems this as something that is a political stunt. And he posted that. He also posted the announcement saying that he did sign it. But isn't it interesting how Hakeem Jeffries, whenever you see the hands start moving around too quickly, is usually when they're full of it. Usually when they're full of it. We've seen the email. The email, obviously, not directly related to his campaign, but the reality of it is it's deeply concerning because, well, it shows what happens behind the scenes. The rich, the powerful, all they have to do is make some type of contribution and they get a dinner with the top guy in the Democratic Party right now. Obviously, he knew Hakeem Jeffries is a rising star and he took full advantage of that. It's interesting now that we're getting the emails too to see the level of political influence that Jeffrey Epstein truly did have. And again, I'm not going to tell you both sides are innocent, but I'm going to tell you that there's one side that's extremely guilty in all of this. And it's those on the left. It's those on the left. You know, we saw Larry Summers obviously come out yesterday and in front of his Harvard class issued an apology for his dealings with Epstein. Again, an individual who sat there and tried his very best to hide behind all of the allegations that were floating out there, but now we know there were emails being exchanged. We also know this took place as well with other high-profile individuals. So Democrats are continuing to play this game when they are the ones who are going to get implicated in all of this. And again, it's really hard to wrap my mind around the fact that there would be anything that you and I would want to know still left behind in those files. Folks, I'm not going to sell you a dream. I truly do believe that the last administration wouldn't leave anything behind that would implicate their own allies. Meaning they knew that the Trump administration was taking over and that he made this campaign commitment. And so one would have to assume that if you really didn't want them to go after high-profile individuals that have previously been accused of having ties to Epstein, like Bill Clinton, you probably would dump all that. So again, I'm excited that we're finally getting to this point where this will be made public, but I do not have high expectations and I don't want you to have those either, because again, you can't trust the government. The people in these positions have done their very best to cover up and to protect those who are extremely powerful and those who they could hold this over their heads. And so I just don't believe any of this anymore. I don't think you're going to get anything substantial from any of this. But again, we're continuing to see Democrats defend their fellow Democrats for having a very personal relationship with Epstein. Now, they won't tell you it's personal. They're just telling you that, oh, we were just texting him. Obviously, Epstein was a big donor, big contributor to their campaigns. Stacey Plaskett is one of the women who are getting really just ripped and destroyed. She's a delegate, but obviously, folks, she has been highly criticized because while she was sitting there during a congressional hearing, she was apparently exchanging text messages with Epstein. And it was all in an attempt to go after, guess who, Donald Trump. Take a listen to clip two and her defense, which really is just a weak, weak defense.
I believe that Jeffrey Epstein had information and I was going to get information to get at the truth. Having a friendship with him is not something that I would deem to have. And so I'm just looking forward. I'm moving forward. And I think that that's what we as American people should do is move forward. If individuals are not involved in illegal activity, extending his criminal enterprise or his financial enterprise or all of those things, I think that we need to look at what people are doing moving forward.
Wait, let me just better understand that. What is that point? Because at the time he was a known sex offender and it had been detailed all the sexual abuse.
There are a lot of people who have done a lot of crimes, and as a prosecutor, you get information from people where you can.
Important to note, she wasn't a prosecutor at the time. She was obviously sitting as a politician, as an elected official at the time. And so her justification for texting a pedophile is absolutely absurd. And it only gets worse. It only gets worse. But this is what they're doing. This is their defense. Their defense is they had to do whatever they had to do to go after Donald Trump. And they want their voter base to know just that. Yeah, they had to speak to somebody who is literally raping children. But they had to go after Donald Trump. Donald Trump was evil. And so they had to align with him to get their way. Folks, if I ever knew a pedophile, I sure as hell would never be texting them. There's no advantage. There's nothing that I'd want from an individual who's that low, who's that disgusting, who is that sick in the head. And so the fact that they all have these excuses as to why they were communicating with a pedophile is quite disturbing. You know it's bad because CNN even has to do the fact checking, and they don't want to do the fact checking. I'm going to listen to clip four because this one's going to knock your IQ points a couple of points down, but CNN is forced to fact check Jasmine Crockett, and she's just really not that bright. Take a listen to how bad Jasmine Crockett is doing her best to try to defend all these horrific actions.
You talked about Republicans taking money from a Jeffrey Epstein. Here's what you said.
Who also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein, as I had my team dig in very quickly. Mitt Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio.
You mentioned Lee Zeldin there. He's now a cabinet secretary. He responded and said it was actually Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a doctor that doesn't have any relation to the convicted sex trafficker. Unfortunate for that doctor, but that is who donated to a prior campaign of his. Do you want to correct the record on the people that you
listen, I never said that it was that Jeffrey Epstein. Just so that people understand, when you make a donation, your picture is not there. And because they decided to spring this on us in real time, I wanted the Republicans to think about what could potentially happen, because I knew that they didn't even try to go through the FEC. So my team, what they did is they Googled. And that is specifically why I said a Jeffrey Epstein. Unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies. Because it was not the same one, that's fine. But when Lee Zeldin had something to say, all he had to say was it was a different Jeffrey Epstein. He admitted that he did receive donations from a Jeffrey Epstein, so at least I wasn't trying to mislead people. Now, have I dug in to find out who this doctor is? I have not. So I will trust and take what he says, is that it wasn't that Jeffrey Epstein, but I was not attempting to mislead anybody. I literally had maybe 20 minutes before I had to do that debate.
Yeah, but people might see that and say, well, you're trying to make it sound like he took money from
a
registered sex offender.
No, but I literally did not know. When you search FEC files, and that's what I had my team to do, I text them and I said, listen, we're going up. They are saying that she took donations.
Right, but someone might say, well, your team should have done the homework to make sure it wasn't the convicted
sex
trafficker.
Within 20 minutes, you could not find that out, not from just doing a quick search on FEC. So, number one, I made sure that I was clear that it was a Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein, because I knew that we would need more time to really dig in.
Yeah. Yeah, if that doesn't make any sense, that's because it's not supposed to. You're supposed to actually just listen to her and go, what the F is this woman thinking? She is horrific. Horrific. The fact that she thought that she could go out there and throw that out there and insinuate like people like Lee Zeldin are taking contributions from pedophiles because, well, she wants to make things look and appear even. Democrats are doing their very best to work with a convicted pedophile, somebody who's literally went to prison, although it was like a very light sentence, obviously. But back and forth, he did go. Folks, these people on the left are so egregious, so disgusting, such low lives. Jasmine Crockett, by the way, is apparently an attorney, probably barely passed the bar, but folks, she is just a low life. An absolute low life. The fact that she said, and she was very key with her words, of course, a Jeffrey Epstein. Does anyone know what's on her head? Is that a raccoon? But side note, you know, just it's pretty freaking disgusting. This woman continues to think that she could go out there and make these types of claims. And she continuously does this because she's an attorney, so she knows how to dance around the truth. The truth is, she didn't do her research. Her staffers didn't do their research. You don't go out there and accuse people who have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein of taking donations from Jeffrey Epstein when it in fact was not the actual Jeffrey Epstein that you're referring to, especially because the name Jeffrey Epstein is such a common name. What a sick, horrible human being she is. But folks, not surprising at all. Not surprising at all. This is what the left's all about. They are low lives. They are losers. These are nasty, nasty people. So obviously, folks, I continue to cover it. We're going to switch gears a little bit and bring things over to those on the right, because Corey Mills is someone who he's a congressman, obviously, from Florida, but he is someone we've called into question several times in my reporting. I know there's been a lot of reporters out there going after him because there's a lot there with Corey Mills. Now, he's facing allegations about his personal life, and I won't get into it, but as many of you guys know, there's multiple girlfriends involved in the situation. He's still legally married, and so it's just a mess. You just leave that to the side for now. Let's focus on the actual corruption-related issues, the allegations that he's facing regarding corruption. He is someone who I've always found to be quite strange. I never understood why networks, before he was even brought in as a politician, were forcing, when I was a producer, forcing us to have him on air at least once a week. He wasn't a contributor. He was just someone they wanted us to bring in. It was really kind of strange. And then I'm sitting back and I'm watching this whole setup in D.C. where they're protecting him. And I'm wondering, why are we protecting someone? It's interesting because when you compare the protection that Corey Mills is getting to the one that George Santos never received, you really have to scratch your head and wonder, why is this going on? George Santos was accused of like lying and misusing his campaign funds. That is amateur hour to what Corey Mills is being accused of right now. And so everyone just jumped on board and watched them go after George Santos and kick him out of Congress. And everyone was okay with that. But now we're sitting back and we're watching, and there are people who are trying their very best to protect Mills. As I reported earlier this week, there was that censure vote that did go on, obviously. We spoke about that. Referring to the Democrats, Democrats threatened to go after Corey Mills. And as a result of all of that, they protected and intentionally failed the censure. That was according to members of Congress who I spoke to. We released that report. I released that report on my Twitter page. And since then, Corey Mills has denied it. He's denied it. Now, I've also reached out to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's office, and they also are in a disagreement with this report. But there are many, many members of Congress who tell me that this is accurate. So, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, and again, we'll keep it to this because I, as many of you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I've gone after her a bit. But Nancy Mace did do some good yesterday, and she got on the House floor and she gave a speech. She pretty much outlined specifically what Mills is accused of. Now, again, we're going to leave out the personal stuff. We're going to focus mainly on what he's accused of now. Take a listen to clip 5 and what this is a partial clip, by the way. The full clip itself was, I think, around 10, 12 minutes. Take a listen to what Nancy Mace was outlining yesterday on the House floor.
Public reports indicate companies owned by Representative Mills sought or entered into contracts to sell munitions to foreign nations while serving as a member of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and on the Committee on Armed Services. Whereas entities owned by Representative Mills seeking or entering into contracts to sell munitions to the United States government as well as foreign nations. He did so while he serves as a member of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and Committee on Armed Services, represents a clear and troubling conflict of interest. Whereas in August 2024, and the Office of Congressional Conduct further adopted and transmitted to the Committee on Ethics of the House of Representatives a report indicating that there are substantial reason to believe that Representative Corey Mills may have omitted or misrepresented required information in his financial disclosure statements, accepted excessive contributions to his campaign committee in the form of personal loans, and contributions that may not have derived from Representative Corey Mills' personal funds, and may have accepted through his campaign committee in-kind contributions or other contributions not lawfully made. whereas individuals who served in the military with Representative Corey Mills have called into question the veracity of the account of events, which formed the basis of a recommendation that Representative Corey Mills received the award of a Bronze Star.
Okay, so those are some of the allegations he's facing. It's also worth noting that Mills, who's still legally married, apparently when he was married to this woman that he's currently married to, he was married off by an Islamic terrorist. There's no other way to look at this. This guy allegedly has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's an unindicted co-conspirator in the 9/11 bombing, obviously, folks. So there's a lot here. A lot here. A lot of people have questioned whether or not he has converted over to Islam. He still says that he is a Christian. But folks, someone with these types of ties should not be sitting on one of the biggest committees. And that's what Nancy Mace was outlining there for you. Foreign affairs, obviously deeply, deeply concerning, and he shouldn't be on that either. But that's what we have going on right now. Now listen. He is being investigated by the House Ethics Committee. And he is going to go about that route. I've got more on this story that we're going to keep developing. I've got more, another report being dropped probably later this afternoon on Mills. Now, again, I think you should go after anyone who has questionable foreign ties. They should not be landing on these high committee assignments. This is also someone who was accused, I believe, of driving through Syria as well by the Blaze. And not having any issues being able to drive around. He's meeting with the Syrian leader now, who we all know is a former, as they like to call him, Al-Qaeda terrorist. And he met with him twice so far. So again, I'm not telling you that he is 100% guilty of these. These are the allegations he's facing. And the fact that members in the House leadership, did their very best to try to protect Corey Mills tells me there's a lot more there than the American people know. Because George Santos didn't receive that same type of defense. They were all happy just to throw George Santos under the bus, which I was against at the time, obviously. But now we're watching it happen with Corey Mills with real allegations. And not a single person wants to speak up on this issue in his defense publicly, but privately they're doing their very best to go behind the scenes to protect Mills. Now, again, this issue is deeply, deeply concerning. I'm going to keep following it. Again, I'll have another updated report hopefully later this afternoon, but it just seems to get worse and worse for Mills. Although he's denying these claims, I've been asking for months now, when were we going to open up this investigation into Mills? And Speaker Mike Johnson's office would ignore those questions every time. I've asked them at least four times. Just recently, Johnson's office just telling me yesterday that they're going to allow the criminal, whatever, it's like a, he's got like a protective order against him from an ex-girlfriend. Like, we'll let that play out in court. But that's not the answer that we should be receiving, keep in mind. That just deals with his personal related allegations, not the ones have to do with him landing on these high committees assignments. It's a lot there. We'll keep digging into it, of course. Folks, don't go anywhere. We've got more to dig into as well. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're giving away a free $10 credit with all purchases. There's no minimum required. Head on over to the Alex Jones Store right now and make sure you stock up for the holidays.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Oh, God, I'm scared now. These people really think, like, threatening me scares me. You don't know I didn't already know this. It's why I'm coming after you. I'm a warrior. I come from good people that built this country. You're not dealing with all the trash and scum you come from. You're dealing with a Texan, bitch. And there's still some of us left. And we crush snakes under our heels. You got the tiger by the tail. You've got the problem. I am the detonator of the revolution you see around you, and you know it. And my work has just begun. So fill your hand.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You want a war? You've got a war. You've been attacking me and been enjoying yourself in your arrogant perch that you're part of the power structure, Invincible. You are scum. You are losers. You are retarded gremlins that fed on this country when she was asleep. Well, she ain't asleep now, bitch. So let me tell you about the real mafia of populism. Let me tell you about real power that comes from real people with real guts and real bones and real morals. If you think hurting and attacking people like me and the American people that are now awake will make us go away, please continue, and you will continue to find out. We have only begun to fight. And like a boa constrictor, we're wrapped around them, and they think they got us, we got them. And we're just squeezing. And squeezing. And we get stronger, and you get weaker. So you just believe your little MSNBC bubble. You just stay in your little bubble. You just wear your little virtual reality goggles and just live in your little fantasy land all you want. But while you're doing that, we are moving. And we've just begun to move. And if you think you're in trouble now, you haven't even begun to run into the next wave that gets here in about a year. You think you can discredit, remove Trump, and stop us? That's hilarious. You think you can take our purity and get us to attack Trump and get him out of the way for you? That's a symbol of how good we are and how strong we are, how we're not going away. You see our purity as weakness. No, it's our strength.
Now, back to our program.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on in the world. A lot happening in Capitol Hill. Not really what the American people want to see, but, you know, we're going to call it out, whether it's Dems, rhinos, or just the corrupt. We're going to call it out on this show, and there's plenty to dig into, as many of you guys know. In the first segment, we did highlight the fact that Corey Mills is now being investigated by the Ethics Committee. Obviously, this is a big one, and people have been calling on this for a very long time now. We'll see how that plays out. But there's been a lot going on with Democrats as well related to Jeffrey Epstein, and we dug into that a little bit too. But someone's name you haven't heard in a while, it's being brought back up again. As many of you guys know, Dan Crenshaw is the congressman from Texas. He's very controversial in regards to those on the right. Don't really like him. I know many of us feel he's a rhino. And we're not really excited about Dan Crenshaw these days. I know so many people, when he first made his way into Congress, were very excited for him. And they have been largely disappointed. It has been very clear that he struggles, likely, with a lot of personal related issues. But we're learning more and more about these issues. Because House Republicans, the leadership, has apparently barred him from traveling international for 3 months following a, quote, alcohol-related episode during a trip to Mexico this summer. That's according to Punchbowl. Now, it's not just Punchbowl, folks. I don't bring you just the corporate media headlines and then push this for you. I've also heard this from sources, congressional sources as well, who did tell me this is true. Apparently, they're claiming that there was an incident that occurred in August when he was officially at the capacity of a congressional delegate visiting Mexico, where Crenshaw was having drinks with a couple of Mexican officials. Apparently, it got really, really rough, and they asked him to leave. So now he is no longer, for the next 3 months, allowed to travel as a congressional delegate. House Republicans, the leadership, is putting that to an end. Man, Dan Crenshaw, man, I know a lot of people crack jokes. I've cracked my own fair jokes about the guy. Just because you believe he is super sensitive. But you just have to wonder. I mean, there's just so much hate that he spews on social media as well. Most of us, I know Tucker probably assumed that there might have been something behind it all. But I do think that, I do hope that he is getting assistance for what appears to be alcoholism. Because he is just ranting all the time on Twitter. And again, if this report's true, it just highlights another issue with the guy. So Dan Crenshaw being banned from being a congressional delegate and traveling abroad for the next 3 months due to this episode. And again, I asked around. Other people in Congress are saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. We got to get our ish together, man. I mean, how are these our fellow Republicans? You're supposed to be the ones fighting for the American people? That's not good, folks. That's not good. I want to play you this clip. Nancy Pelosi, she's rambling these days. I mean, just rambling, can barely hold her dentures in. It's very, very clear that she's really struggling. But obviously, she announced that she's not running for re-election. She's going to retire, which is good news, obviously, for the rest of us. But if you've been strongly relying on her stock advice, not good news for you, especially if you work over BlackRock. But she outlined to Anderson Cooper in clip 6 as to why she's all of a sudden retiring, and you're not going to believe her reasoning. Take a listen.
This is your first interview since you've announced that you'll be retiring at the end of your term. Why go now?
Why did I retire?
Yeah.
Well, I've been eager to sort of go into another phase of life for a while. I thought Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016 and the Affordable Care Act would be intact and our country would be in great hands. She was so qualified, and then that didn't happen, so we had to stay to make the fight, and now we're making the fight again.
So she's given up on the fight, and she's checking in to happy hour a little sooner. Nancy Pelosi heading on out the front door. She is just absolutely losing it. And again, I get that she's like way over 80 at this point now, but gosh, if there's ever been a better case for term limits, it is this woman. This woman. And the interview with Anderson Cooper that she did was so strange. It was a really bizarre interview. Like, really bizarre interview. A lot of it I'll attribute to age at this point. But listen to clip 7, because in clip 7, she's going to talk specifically about, it's so strange. Anderson Cooper asked her a question about previous quotes that she's given about Donald Trump and what she said about him. And her response is just, it's absolutely bizarre. Take a listen.
One of the things you said recently in an interview, you said that President Trump was a vile creature, the worst thing on the face of the earth. Do you think he's different now than he was in his first term in terms of his abilities, his leadership?
By the way, I said that as a euphemism. I could have done much worse.
you could have done worse. You could have said worse.
Yeah.
Do you want, are there other adjectives you'd rather use?
No. I want to talk about my House, the House Democrats, and how we're going to win.
Yeah, she's losing it. Sorry, that's me being nice. She's lost it. She's lost it. Such an awkward interview that Anderson Cooper had to do with her. I don't even know what to say about Nancy Pelosi. I feel like I've said everything about the woman. It's good that she's leaving, obviously. Whoever's going to fill in her slot, though, probably going to be worse than her, because that's usually how these things work. They only get more radical. And so one would assume it's probably going to be a horrible person, but she's just so bizarre. Such a strange, strange woman. So it's good to see her go. Speaking about strange women, Sheila McCormick. She is the congresswoman from Florida. Sheila apparently was accused a while back of misusing FEMA funds. But according to the DOJ, who's now had her indicted, Congresswoman McCormick has now been officially indicted. And she's facing a very, very massive amount of prison time right now. She was indicted in a federal courthouse yesterday for allegedly stealing millions of federal emergency funds. And ultimately, it's not just her too, it's her brother to keep in mind. And directing some of her campaign accounts as well. In 2021, they're accusing her, prior to her election to Congress, a healthcare company owned by McCormick, received $5 million in overpayment on FEMA-funded contract for coronavirus vaccinations. Defendants allegedly conspired to steal the funds by routing them through multiple accounts. Prosecutors claim that some of the stolen funds were used to finance her House campaign for South Florida, including by funneling money to friends and family who donated it as a part of a straw donor scheme. Additionally, the DOJ, again, going after her brother as well in all of this. But it's interesting to see the AG's office saying using disaster relief funds for self-enrichment is a particularly selfish, obviously, crime. And folks, that's what we're talking about here. This is exactly what the left does all the time, but all politicians. Interesting to note, too, later today, we're expecting to hear from Congressman Greg Stube, who's expected to file a motion to have her removed from her committee assignments as well. So it's going to keep happening. If we keep at this rate, this trajectory, we probably should have removed like 90% of those on the Hill right now. And 90% is me being nice. It's probably a lot more. But that vote is expected to happen later today. Now, she was previously confronted by a local news outlet about these allegations of corruption. I want you to listen in clip 8 on how she responded when confronted with that. Take a listen.
She was back in the district at this event. We tried again.
I also wanted to ask you about the investigation into your families. But this is also part of her congressional duties. Congresswoman, you know, you're under investigation for the congressional ethics for violation of campaign finances. Congresswoman, this is your district. You have to answer to these people. Congresswoman.
Attorneys for her family's healthcare company aren't answering the I-Team's questions either. And the Department of Emergency Management says they won't comment on ongoing litigation, leaving taxpayers and her constituents wondering what happened to those millions.
Oh, I actually didn't even realize that was the old network I used to work for. I used to produce for them over in South Florida. But folks, you know, fun fact, you know, Democrats, people just think they can get away with these things. I'm sure they thought that this was going to be a great thing. They could just shuffle through a couple accounts and they'd be good to go. These allegations are obviously deeply, deeply concerning, and the American people deserve to know if this truly did happen. So, of course, she'll get her day in court, but the reality of it is the corruption is beginning to make its way to the surface, and I know a lot of these people think they were going to get away with these things. And thankfully, that's not the case. I want to kick things off by also talking about something that's happening tomorrow in the Oval Office. President Trump yesterday took to Truth Social to talk about Zohran Mamdani, apparently. Zohran Mamdani is going to be making his way to the Oval Office tomorrow to meet with President Donald Trump in person. Now, obviously, he's a communist, and thankfully, President Trump outlining just that. But the reality of it is Zohran Mamdani is not worthy of being at the White House, at the Oval Office. He is a communist. He is a horrible person. And I truly, truly believe he's not worthy of this honor. But the president didn't ask me, of course. So he'll be meeting with him tomorrow. We'll be covering it, obviously. If it does happen in the morning time, we'll let you all know. Probably not the morning time, since Zohran Mamdani doesn't really have or never has had a job, a real job. So he probably sleeps in. But we look forward to seeing what takes place there. I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting meeting. Probably could have been a phone call. Maybe an email. I mean, this guy was sent to this country specifically for the project of destroying this nation, the mission of destroying this nation. And that is what is going to happen in New York City. New York City has been conquered. That's how they view it in their eyes. And so, I don't know. When we take calls later, you guys can let me know what you think. But for me, I got to say this. I truly believe having a meeting in the Oval Office makes it look like Zohreh Mahdani has an ounce of credibility. Like he's a legitimate threat. Wouldn't even bring him there. Send him an email. Have a phone call with him. That's all you need to do. He's an evil communist. He is obviously somebody who is a sympathizer for Islamic terrorists. And nobody I want to see in the Oval Office. But then again, we did just have an Al-Qaeda terrorist in the White House. So you might as well keep the theme going. Let's turn to this too as well, because, you know, Zohreh Mahdani, he's talking about how he won his political campaign. And this one in clip 10, he outlines how illegal aliens, one specific illegal alien, really did help contribute to his campaign. Take a listen.
Her aunt with a feeling like she couldn't even leave their home. I heard from an older Bangladeshi woman who told me that she canvassed for me over the course of this campaign in fear of whether she would be picked up in the course of knocking on doors because she was afraid to even go to the grocery store. And I think what we've seen under this current administration here in New York City is an unwillingness to stand up for the laws we already have here. We have sanctuaries.
Okay. That's probably a crime. And wouldn't it be good, while he's at the White House, wouldn't it be good if just we denaturalize him and we just round him up and arrest him and then just ship him back off? I mean, that would be the ideal situation here. He's openly admitting to having an illegal alien working on his campaign. Now, obviously, it's probably a volunteer position, but the reality of it is it doesn't matter to me. Use everything you can to make sure that this guy does not take over in New York City. I mean, it's going to happen at this point because no one's intervened thus far. They have not done their digging. They have not brought anything to the surface yet that would disqualify him. Legally, we've had obviously members of Congress detail how they want him denaturalized so that we could deport him. And it's obviously the reports in regards to him taking foreign contributions to his campaign that he did also give a refund on when he realized that story went public. But he's a horrible person. He's going to be very destructive. And unfortunately, we're just have to sit back and watch this happen. This is this weak beta man who is now going to be running New York City. What a sad day for America when that happens. What a sad day. This guy's never had a real job. He was installed. He was brought into this country for this specific reason. They have weaponized our own election process against us. And now we officially have a communist. I almost said a bad word. Fairy. Was now going to be leading New York City. What a disgraceful, disgraceful moment for us all. He's also going to be very destructive. New York City is going to see crime rates that they've never seen before. In clip 11, Zohreh Mahdani is outlining what his plans are to make sure that his fellow left-wing terrorists who decide to have very violent protests aren't met with any type of pushback by law enforcement. Take a listen to clip 11 and how he's outlining how he's going to destroy the NYPD's anti-riot division.
I think that people are going to look at it and say, well, how can you get to those positive outcomes of public safety if you disagree on things like the strategic response group? She wants to keep it. You want to get rid of it. Where did you land on that?
You know, I continue to have my concerns around the strategic response group because there are concerns around the fact of whether we can ensure that we're not only protecting New Yorkers, but also New Yorkers' ability to exercise their First Amendment rights. And I see with the commissioner a shared belief in the importance of that exercise, as well as being able to protect New Yorkers. And I think when you look at No Kings, the protest where we had tens of thousands of New Yorkers come out in the streets and voice their displeasure with the federal administration that has been going after them time and time again, we saw that that was not only an exercise of their First Amendment rights, but also something that they were able to do safely.
Yeah, this is fitting. This is while we're talking about public safety, right? We hear the sirens going. So just to stay on that for a moment, the strategic response group, is it going away, or was that a negotiation that she wanted to keep it?
No, I've made clear my concerns. I don't think that the NYPD strategic response group should be how we respond to protests, and that's something that we'll be following through.
So it's going away.
We're going to have a different.
You see that? So he's just an evil, evil person, and you're going to find out the hard way. If you're a member of the NYPD right now, you better get out. You better get out. Cash in all those retirements if you can, and just leave. just leave. That's the advice I'm giving my friends who are currently with the agency still. There's no purpose there anymore. It is going to be a very rough, rough few years in New York City. If you own a property, sell it, get out. Now is the time to get out. I want to switch gears a little bit to the FBI. You know, we rarely hear about the personnel firings that are happening behind the scenes over at the FBI because the FBI is not allowed to publicly announce those things. They're not allowed to confirm firings. And so when I do reach out for comment, they always say we can't discuss personnel matters, but we can discuss them when these individuals come forward and put their face all over these issues. One individual apparently is a 16-year vet of the agency. He was fired. I mean, actually covered on the show. He was fired for having a pride flag on his desk. Now, according to reports, that pride flag was draped near his desk, and he was fired for that. David Maltedsky is his name. He's a 16-year FBI employee. He detailed specifically in clip 9, we'll play that for you, he detailed what he believes took place against him. Take a listen.
Were you surprised when you got the word you were to leave?
I wasn't surprised. I was definitely disappointed. I knew, not truly firsthand, but I knew I was on a list. There was fear after the administration came in that they were going to start looking at all of our personnel files where some of us did self-identify our sexual orientation. Some people did identify as trans. So there was fear early on that DOJ was going to collect this and they were going to curate a list and get rid of the undesirables.
You say it pretty casually, but it's pretty powerful to hear that phrase. You say you were likely on a list. That's quite something.
It's concerning.
Now, what's concerning is how somebody like him was able to be elevated to his position. And why would you disclose the fact that you're gay? Who cares? Why did he feel like he had to tell the world that what his sexual preference was? I mean, that's the best way to describe it. Not a place. The work environment is not a place for us to figure out what gender you like to have sex with. And the fact that he put it on his desk, he was very prideful of it. He was displaying it, even participating in these DEI events. No, the workplace isn't supposed to be about that. Folks, if you're a heterosexual man and you decided to talk about your love for women and your sex life with women, and you're prideful of that, guess what? You'd end up in HR and you'd end up fired as well. So this whole victim card, they targeted me because I was gay. Well, why do they know that you're gay? This isn't your personal life that we're trying to disclose. This is your professional life. You're an employee of the FBI. You do not disclose your sex life details. But they feel like they can. They feel like they should. And that's the problem with all of this. That's the problem with all of this. And in case you didn't know, Rick Grenell, obviously someone who is also gay, decided to respond to this FBI employee's, former FBI employee's claims that he made. Rick Grenell saying he wasn't fired because he's gay. He was fired for being incompetent. He worked there for 16 years and yet still wasn't promoted to an agent? Why didn't Biden promote him? Why can't reporters do actual journalism? Cash Patel helped raise money for gay conservatives. This attack, obviously, is nonsense. And again, CBS not pushing back, just running the propaganda, being called out by Grenell. We don't need to know what your sex life or what your sexual preferences are. Nobody asked. It's so frustrating that they keep doing this to us. So obviously now he's suing. That's what they would do. All about playing the victim card and going out there full swing and telling people, oh, I'm being targeted because I'm gay. But you disclosed that information and there was no reason to talk about that. Apparently, too, by the way, we'll play the full clip later on in the show with Matt in just a few moments. But apparently the flag that was put outside of the FBI field office that he was working at, that was the pride flag that they gave him. Why is it FBI field office flying a flag that details someone's sexual preference? None of this makes any sense. None of this makes any sense. There you go. Oh, that's such a sweet story. It's not. Listen, nobody cares about your sex life. You're here to work. And I'm glad Rick Grenell's calling it out, because Rick Grenell's calling out the truth. Why weren't you promoted? Probably because you sucked at your job. And they never want to hear that. 16 years? 16 years. And Joe Biden was just tossing promotions out. Anyone, literally anyone. DEI literally elevated the dumbest of the dumb. This guy? He didn't get elevated? That's strange. That truly, truly is. Again, he's going to have his day in court now because he is suing. So we look forward to seeing how that all works out for him. But it's just so frustrating. Imagine having to work, and you wanted to work in law enforcement your entire life, and you're forced to work next to a guy who wants to be so prideful and display what sexual preferences he has on his desk every day. Yeah, if that was the private sector, guess what? You'd probably get sued. You probably would get sued. So good riddance, dude. It's pretty frustrating, though. I really wish they could just give you numbers over at the FBI as to how many people they've fired thus far. They don't want to give you any of those numbers, or they hold those close to their chest. They don't want to reveal any of the information. I want to know who's being fired behind the scenes. You know, I want to know what type of people, because a lot of these people were politically motivated to their positions, elevated throughout the FBI because of their positions. So how many more of these individuals did we toss? I don't even need to know their name. Just give me numbers. Give me numbers. You know, I'll never forget the Parkland shooting in Florida. Just weeks, I think it was 2 weeks prior, the local FBI field office in the Parkland area actually did a DEI hiring event. Christopher Wray actually attended that event. So who knows? Who knows what could have happened? Obviously, a lot of that fell on local law enforcement in Parkland. But maybe if we weren't so concerned with DEI, the FBI would have maybe stopped that from taking place in Parkland. It's just so infuriating what's happened. DEI has completely destroyed so many, not only federal agencies, but businesses, everything. And it's good to see that it's finally coming to an end. We hope that this is actually permanent. But man, oh man, do we have a lot of filth to purge out of these institutions. All right, folks, we got a lot more going on in the show today. Matt Peterson will be joining me in just a few moments. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We'll have him after the quick break. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because when you head on over to the shop, you're going to get a free $10 credit applied to your cart when you stock up today. There's no minimum required. So all you got to do is head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Also, join the Alex Jones membership. As many of you guys know, when you sign up and subscribe for $30 a month, you get a free $40 credit to use. And you also get a hat. That's a hat club now. Head on over to the shop and you can do just that, thealexjonesstore.com.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.